This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to the podcast of The Petri Dish on Joy 94.9.
Petri Dish, noun. A small, shallow dish of thin glass or plastic with a loose cover used especially for cultures in bacteriology. Petri was an assistant to the eminent bacteriologist Robert Koch. In 1887, Petri introduced a vessel for growing bacteria that consisted of two round rim plates, one serving as a cover for the other. Petri dish.
You're listening to the Petri Dish here on Joy 94.9.
And you might remember this tune or you might not remember this tune, but either way, we're going to be talking about superheroes today.
Yes, we are. We're going to tell you what is a mutation and how a superhero might come about.
We're going to talk about radioactive stuff and whether it could give you cancer or turn you into a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle, perhaps.
Oh, and we're going to have a look at, can we actually become invisible?
I can't wait. Can you?
No, I can't wait. I don't know. I really love Invisigirl. It's like one of my favorite superheroes.
But I just can't see her. I don't even know
where
what that
are meant. You, Invisigirl? Where are you? Anyway, I think before we go into that, we have a first track, and it's Dirty Harry by the Gorillaz. Yeah, I was in a joint of 0.9 with the Petri Dish, and today we're talking all things superhero. But first, a bit of super news.
Ooh, hearing black balloons is our first piece of science news today. Scientists from Curtin University of Technology are using thousands of acoustic sensors to hear global warming. That's right. Usually these sensors are used to monitor nuclear weapons testing, but these scientists are trying to use it to hear ice breaking from the giant ice sheets of the South Pole. The aim of the research is to see that if we can monitor changes in the ice shelf through sound. Ooh. So far, the results have unfortunately not been too successful, but by God, it's a cool idea. So it makes it into our science news today.
A super hearing device. I'm just going to use super as much as possible.
I think that's a good idea. I think it's a super idea. Patchy cures is our next piece of science news. A radioactive skin patch. A radioactive. I think every time we say the word radioactive, we have to make a little tone in our voice. So in which case, a radioactive skin patch might be a new way to treat skin cancer, say researchers at the Society of Nuclear Medicine in New Delhi. They have research published this week that says using a patch with the radioactive substance phosphorus can actually deliver radiation straight to the cancer site and reduce and kill the cancer cells without causing scarring. It was a small study of only 8 patients with basal cell carcinoma on their face, and the cancer had not spread elsewhere. But wow. It helped out. Now, of course, it does have limitations because it's just a small patch and phosphorus itself is quite weak as a radioactive substance. It cannot reach bone or underlying blood vessels, so it just would be for the initial stages of cancer.
So they have to get it pretty early and identify it to have radioactive phosphorus.
Help out. So a cancer-fighting skin patch.
A super phosphorus skin patch.
Ooh, the power of proteins is our final piece of science news for today. Today, Monash University researchers discovered a protein called PLZF that is an important player in the body's immune response to disease. Interferon activates PLZF and a bunch of other genes that are important in protecting us against viral infections like swine flu and all other viral infections. I just thought
it's a bit late, Monash.
It'd get some blood boiling if we mentioned the old SF. Interferons are naturally occurring, and they naturally are produced within our body to fight viruses or cancers or bacterias. But it's also used in many diseases to treat them. In many treatments to diseases like hepatitis, cancer, and MS. And we don't really know how they work, so this will be an important step in allowing us to understand how these treatments actually do help and kill
how
diseases.
We can prevent disease.
And on the discussion about the MS, multiple sclerosis, it is the MS Readathon this month.
Fortunately, I found out about it recently, but it ends at the end of the month. So if you can, you know, speed read through some books and get people to sponsor you or find someone who is doing it and sponsor them, support the research.
That's right. And you know what? You don't even need to speed through. Picture books are included. So get people to sponsor the books you read.
Did you cheat in primary school with that? Because that's what I did.
Of course I did. I'm a really slow reader. Dr. Seuss is included. I'm just putting it out there.
But donate funds to the MS Foundation. It's a good cause.
It's a very good cause, and we'll be speaking about it a bit later on in the Petri Dish.
Sometime this season.
We sure will. But that is science news. Up next, we're going to be telling you what is a mutation.
But first, here's a super song by Kate Mulihaki, Supergirl.
Super. You're listening to the Petri Dish on Joy 94.9, and we actually have a Petri Dish question for you with a great prize. Our question for today is, please SMS or give us a call with the element that is atomic number 36. And to give you a couple more clues.
It's a super element.
It is a super element. It's a colourless, odourless, and fairly expensive gas, and it has some brilliant green and orange spectral lines. It's characterized by its great colors, but it is a super element. That's probably our best clue. And it's found in space as well as in humans.
Ooh.
So we'll give you some more clues if people can't SMS. Yes. What's the prize?
The prize is, this is thanks to Working Women Enterprises, it's an MP3 player. It's called My Flower. And you basically put your iPod in it and the flower dances.
It's pretty cute. It's very cute.
It's very, very cute. I wish I could win it, but I can't. It's all for you guys out there. Now, if you want to win, you got to be a member, or you can become a member and win this prize. And if you want to become a member, you got to call 9699-2949. You've also been in the running for Radiothon prizes last week as well. Still, the major ones.
Oh, you can still get Radiothon prizes.
Yes, all the way up to July 20th if you do it. You can still... So, if you want
to... That's great. And they include a trip to Hollywood, by the way. So, if you know the answer to this super element, atomic number 36, colourless, odourless gas found in space, you can also SMS on 0427-JOY-949 or call on 9699-2949. You get a prize. Yeah. And possibly a trip to Hollywood.
So, that's the trip to Hollywood is only for people that renew or... become a new member. But if you're already an existing member, you just want the iPod player, that's a flower. It's pretty cute. It's electronic. It's fun. It's a novelty.
It's true. Now, speaking of novelty, or maybe not, mutations, tell me, for remember this scientific fact, Shane, what's a mutation?
What is a mutation? That's a very good question. So, let's first answer. What is DNA? We actually haven't covered this yet. So, DNA stands for deoxyribonucleic acid, and it is made of a backbone of phosphorus and sugar. And then, if you can imagine, in the middle, it has these bases called nucleotide bases, and these are adenine, guanine, cytosine, and thymine. So, it's a flashback to Year 10 science. And the DNA exists in the nucleus of the cell as tightly compressed strands known as chromosomes.
Right. So, it's sitting in the little brain of all the cells, and you've got this great DNA squished up to make chromosomes. Excellent.
Exactly. And so, DNA. So, this DNA is made up of these sequences of A, G, C, T. So, it stands for adenine, guanine, cytosine, and thymine. And they are responsible for our genetics and our phenotypic traits, our eye color, hair color, you know, how tall we're going to grow, and our hormones release. That's all to do with the DNA that's being prepared. And, you know, if we stretch out our DNA, it could stretch from here to the moon and back. So, that's how long it actually is. Those are the instructions. But most of it is actually what they like to call junk DNA. So, they actually don't use it, but it does still serve a vital role. That's right.
And they used to think that it didn't, and someone actually tried to patent junk DNA, which they could originally, and then they realise that it's actually incredibly important. Yes. So, patent removed. But we digress. So, mutation.
Mutation. So, with this DNA, it obviously needs to be read. So, it gets translated and then transcripted into their products. So, these are usually protein products that get transported around the body to produce our phenotypic traits.
Right. So, little proteins are actually reading this A, G, C, D, or whatever it is.
And mutation occurs when we actually have to... when DNA replicates. So, when we have to make new cells, DNA has to replicate, obviously, to copy the exact DNA so it can keep producing these proteins. So,
other than when we're growing, why else would we want to make new cells?
New cells. That's all. Regenerate to replace dead cells.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And also sex cells as well to produce them.
Yeah, we need them.
So, the errant DNA is known as a mutation, and mutation can be a variety of things. It can be Like, it can just have a random stop point. So it says stop reading at this point. It could be a point mutation, which is one of the bases. So adenine, guanine, cytosine, thymine changes to another one. It could be deleted. Could have inserted a whole heap of DNA.
So of all of these, this DNA that is so long that you could stretch it out, that it would come to the moon and back, you know, all it could take is that in this replication process, one of those those letters is out of whack and we could get a disease.
Yeah, or, you know, if you're still in the embryo, it could just lead to death, so it won't actually develop to a baby.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Even better. It could just lead to death. Excellent.
And there's also things, and, you know, really big things like chromosome relocation, which, you know, which is linked to Down syndrome as well.
So what's happening there?
That means, like, one arm from one chromosome has gone to another arm of chromosomes. It comes shorter and one comes longer. Yeah.
Wow. So we actually have a switch. How does that happen?
I'm not too sure. That's my quick answer to that.
I'm not sure if that is an answer, Shane.
Anyway, so the consequence of these mutations is that when it gets read wrong and translated wrong. So we either produce too much of a protein or end up not producing not enough of it. And that can lead to diseases. And if we can't stop the replication process as well, that leads to what's commonly known as cancer and tumours in our body.
Right, especially so if your body's making too much of something, too much of one cell.
Yeah.
That's what's happening in cancer, isn't it? Gain of function. So you just keep on making the cell and it's growing and growing and growing.
Exactly.
It's starting to kill off other cells.
And so what causes things? They're called mutagens, causes mutations. Mm-hmm. And they can be chemical mutagens such as mustard gas, which was used in World War I. Nitrous acid, certain dyes that are used in the lab, ethylamide bromide, I can't say it.
I think you did good.
Yeah. I know, I was told, it can cause cancer, don't use it. I'm like, well, why are we using it?
Because everything causes cancer.
And things like radiation, so UV, X-rays, gamma radiation, all those things can cause DNA to mutate. But, you know, our body can battle mutations. There are steps in the DNA replication process where it can be reversed if it's picked up, but if it's not picked up, that's when it becomes dangerous.
So our little proteins do have ways of thinking, wait a sec, this letter's not right.
This letter's not right. We need to change this. We need to excise this out.
So they can cut it out and pop in a good one.
Yeah.
Excellent.
So they are mechanisms. So that is what a mutation is.
Thanks, Jamie. Up next, we're going to be talking about the myth that radioactive things will give you cancer.
You're going to join in for 0.9 with the Petri Edition. Tonight we're talking all things super, even super elements.
And we've got some people who knew this super element. Tessa. Yes.
Tessa, she's a new member listening online from Country Victoria on joy.org.au. You can listen online. And she said krypton, which is the correct answer.
It's the exact answer. Atomic number 36 is krypton. It's our super element. And Mark in the city came in two minutes too late.
So, Tessa, you didn't give us your membership number. Maybe you haven't received it yet. So, if you could call the station on 9699 2949, talk to the lovely Petro on the front desk, and to confirm your details, that would be fantastic.
And we'll be sure to send that prize out to you. But thank you very much for messaging in. Krypton, it is a real element. And I was excited about that.
And if you have anything else to say about the show, you can feel free to SMS us on 0427-JOY-949 or email us at onair@joy.org.au. But in the meantime, Winnie's going to enlighten us.
Wow, that's pressure. Our myth for today is, will radioactive things give you cancer? So, of course, first question, what the devil is a radioactive thing? So in all sorts of shows that we watch, there's a radioactive substance and it's in the air and it's trouble. And it's causing Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Radioactive materials, therefore, are large unstable atoms, and they become more stable when they release radiation. So you might remember from high school or perhaps even primary school that every atom has little protons and electrons and charges around it. And when those charges move from different levels in the atom, it releases energy depending on where they're moving. And when they release this energy, that's when we have radioactive substances, or radioactive substances are prone to releasing this sort of energy. Now, radiation is the energy that comes from an atom, and the energy is in the form of positive electric charges that comes. Shane's pointing. By the way, he's Anyway, I'm just being a positive electric charge. And that's highly reactive. And it's so reactive, in fact, that it likes to bind to anything it comes in contact with. So what do you think it might start to bind to?
DNA.
DNA. That's right. So these substances, these radioactive materials, are so reactive and they've got all of this energy that they will just bind to our DNA. And there's nothing that's going to cause a mutation faster than this big chunk of a radioactive substance attached to our DNA. Because as Shane was talking about before, we have proteins that like to read our DNA. And all of a sudden it's like, boom, there's this radioactive substance attached. And so it was thought for a long time that radioactive materials and touching them could affect our DNA and could cause cancer for this exact reason. Now, when we look at studies of the two times in history, really, that we've had a huge blast of radioactive substances, that would be the atomic bomb in 1945 and the two that were dropped, and as well as Chernobyl, which was an accident in Ukraine that led to a massive release of radionucleotides. Now, from the atomic bomb, we have seen a great incidence of many cancers, which tells us that the theory behind radioactive things causing cancer is actually true. In Chernobyl, which was a nuclear accident that happened in 1986, there's actually been a lot of good evidence. There's an increase of thyroid cancer, particularly amongst children, but not too many other kinds of cancer. Mm. And so that tells us that it depends on what the radioactive substance is, on whether it is likely to increase. And
do we know what that substance is in Chernobyl?
It's iodine, and they think it increased incidence of thyroid, because the thyroid has high concentrations of iodine, so it would have collected all this excess iodine in the DNA around the cells in the thyroid and increased the incidence of cancer there. So myth is in fact fact.
So if I rolled around in this vat of radioactive waste, you know, like Mae West in Family Guy, I'd get cancer.
Probably, and yes. Superpowers, yes. And unlikely to become a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle, of course, because cancer is not going to turn you into a turtle. And the only chance that could happen is, like you were talking about, if you get a mutation that's a gain of function and it somehow gives you the function of a mutant Ninja Turtle.
But those turtles became human, spoke English.
Right, so then it would have to have been within the DNA of a turtle, there is this sort of inbred function to be half ninja human.
Aww.
And it's been quietened throughout evolution or whatnot, and
this episode is quite depressing me, because superheroes seems it can't happen at the moment.
No, there's no ninja, but so that myth is true, and probably I can't believe you're more depressed by the chance you can't be a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle as opposed to the increased incidence of thyroid cancer in the Ukraine thanks to Chernobyl accident.
I'm sorry, I really want to be able to manipulate water and turn it to ice. I want to be Iceman.
Yeah,
I'm sorry. Never anyway happened. But maybe it could happen, because we're going to talk about designer babies next.
We are. That's our controversy. Should we do it? Can we do it?
Could we make a superhero that does everything by altering our DNA?
Shane's going to tell us all about it. But if you do have a science-related question, then do please SMS us in on 0427JOY949, because we did have a question about flies, and next episode we're going to be answering it when we talk all about insects.
If you're curious and you love the Petri dish and you want us to answer something for you, you can always email us here live on air at joy.org.au or SMS 0427JOY949. Or if you have something pops up during the week, you can email thepetridish@joy.org.au and we'll investigate it for you. In the meantime, here's a track by Lily Allen, Smile.
You're listening to The Petri Dish on Joy 94.9, and we're telling you all about superheroes and mutations and DNA and what's going on in the world. And Denise has emailed us a great question, and she said, how does evolution work on our DNA? Is it a good mutation? So evolution, when it comes to our DNA, we're just going to quickly answer this and then we will go into designer babies. Evolution is where you have some sort of pressure that's on the DNA, and evolution can happen to viruses, it can happen to humans, and it's some kind of pressure in our environment that does actually work on our DNA and change our DNA, and then it works. When we have children, they then develop this evolutionary benefit as well. And it is good in a way, because it's how our DNA is responding to some kind of pressure, but it could also be bad in a way, because just like any kind of pressure that people put on you, you might have a bad reaction to it. So it's a very, in a way, a somewhat random process, but it is But it's generally a good thing, and it is generally beneficial too.
And it's really more evident in things like insects and animals. For example, during the Industrial Revolution, there was two moths, one's black, one's white. The black, they had white trees that became black, and so the black moth survives, and the white moths will get eaten by the birds because they weren't camouflaged anymore.
Wow.
So another example of evolution.
That is whipped out of your head very, very nicely.
That's from Year 10 as well. I always remember that question.
That's quite fascinating. Well, the one that I was thinking of is HIV virus in the body is very prone to mutating because every person has a different immune system and an immune response. And so every time that the HIV virus enters the body and has different immune pressures thrown at it, then it's actually going to mutate in a different way due to that evolutionary pressure. And so sometimes they die because they haven't had a good response, and sometimes they don't. But great, great question.
Thank you, Denise.
Thank you, Denise. Now, Shane, tell me all about our controversy, designer babies. I want one.
Well, you want to design a baby?
I don't know.
Do you want a baby that's like Spider-Man or maybe the Fantastic Four? I want Invisigirl. I want Invisigirl to happen for me. Yeah, that's my first child. It's Invisigirl.
Now, that would be scary.
Yes. Where have you gone?
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm thinking. She's like, did I have a child? What's going on?
I've lost her in the supermarket. Can anyone see her? Anyway, so designer baby is a baby whose genetic makeup has been artificially selected by genetic engineering combined with IVF technology to ensure the presence or absence of particular genes or characteristics.
Okay.
Right? So they do this by screen the sperm and egg cells to see which has the most desirable trait or who doesn't have like a certain trait or likelihood of producing disease, like diseases such as Huntington's disease or traits like Down syndrome in their baby. So they screen this to make sure it doesn't occur in the child. Now, this designer baby is for IVF, so we can't actually, it's pretty difficult to design a baby once it's already in your womb and developing.
Well, it's just a different issue. You can screen. If you've gotten pregnant, then there's pretty much only going to be one sperm and egg inside you. And so if you screen for that, then you'll be having an abortion. Whereas with IVF, you're actually selecting the correct
your desired traits.
You're selecting desired traits. So there's less moral issues there. So that's what we're talking about. Yeah.
Now we can manipulate, we can manipulate our genes as much as we want, but to create super strength doesn't necessarily mean we need to,
wait a sec. Yeah. Whoa, we're talking about getting rid of Huntington's and all of a sudden we can get super strength?
No, we can't get super strength. We're talking about the difficulty in this. Like just because in theory, things like testosterone has been linked to building muscle.
Right.
Doesn't mean that making more of testosterone, making the baby produce more testosterone is going to give them super strength because it won't affect their receptors in our cells to do that.
Right, excellent. Right?
It's more complex than we think. For example, like producing hair color, apparently there's about 70 genes linked to hair color. So we need to find all 70 of those genes before we can actually design the baby, that the specific hair color of your baby.
Right, excellent. Okay.
But there's some hope. In mice can't usually see red light.
Mm-hmm.
And they are able to... Sorry.
And they have red eyes.
They have red eyes, but they can't see red light, so it reflects off. That's why that's why we see it as red. But they've genetically modified them to absorb the red light so they can see red light, if that makes sense, or green light. It's the same genes in chlorophyll. So chlorophyll reflects a red light so they can see red light. So they've transferred that to mice.
Wow. And so we're getting to steps where we will be able to mutate certain traits in the human. Or maybe. Traits.
It's a bit difficult because, there has been no experiments on a whole human yet. It's illegal and unethical to, take a baby and be like, well, let's insert this gene and see what happens to it. But we can, we can modify human cells. We can't modify a whole human person to take on a specific trait. And so it's quite difficult also because we need to find the specific gene that exists either in our world or in an animal world and be able to transfer that to us. And we don't know the effect that's going to have on a human either.
Because we have done it with glow-in-the-dark. We found a glow-in-the-dark gene in a jellyfish and we've been able to put that into all sorts of different animals, and also lots of treatments have been developed based on putting this glow-in-the-dark gene into certain proteins and watching them move around the body.
And that's a very simple process because, you know, jellyfish have a simpler DNA than, say, humans or mice, and so we're able to isolate the one gene and transfer that.
So, wait a sec.
So, we
could we have a glow-in-the-dark baby?
We could have a glow-in-the-dark baby, but that's not a superpower.
Hell yeah, that's a superpower.
But apparently in the UK, they've developed glow-in-the-dark bacteria, which you can put on yourself to glow in clubs.
Wow. That's just a misuse of science right there. Whereas a glow-in-the-dark baby would not be a misuse of science. So currently the controversy that really exists is whether, as this section of the show is controversy, is whether we should be allowed to screen out certain diseases when doing IVF. And I think people's main issue with this is fear of thin end of the wedge. That this actually makes a lot of sense. You have options for eggs and sperm and you're deciding what's going to go into it. It's a positive step. It's not a negative. It's not like an abortion. You're not killing off anything. Yeah. And so people just have this fear, oh, it starts with Huntington's disease. Then when we do get to know the blue-eyed genes, we'll be able to use that. And I think fear of the thin end of the wedge argument, where do we draw the line, is used all the time to block science research. And at this point, I absolutely believe that that's the right decision. If we can...
If we can stop the disease to occurring, because if we stop the diseases occurring, then, you know, they won't appear anymore because we've raided them out.
Well, that's so right. I mean, it's very well and good for people to say you shouldn't be able to weed out Down syndrome children. They have a really important part to play in our society. And indeed, they do, but if you're the parent looking after them...
Yeah. Do you have the financial means and the capability? There's all these other personal questions to answer as well. Things with diseases such as muscular dystrophy, Huntington's disease, cystic fibrosis. There's all diseases that we can that are genetically linked and we can screen for them. And, you know, preferably, I guess most parents would rather have a so-called healthy, healthy, normal child, so to speak.
Yeah.
But the question is, if they found a gay gene, would they stop making the gays?
That is not the question. That is the thin end of the wedge that I was exactly going against. If you do have a comment, please SMS on 0427 Joy 949 or give us a call on 96992949. After the break, we're going to soften the blow a little and tell you whether we could have invisibility.
Now, one of the team members on the Petri Dish, Kane, it's actually his birthday today. He's not in the studio. And he loves a bit of R&B and a bit of soul, and I've got a special track for him tonight.
It's by Big Bang.
It's called Lie. It sounds a little bit different, but we're all about experimenting on the Petri Dish because we're scientists.
Take it away. Enjoy.
And after the break, Ryan is going to tell us about whether we can become invisible like Invisigirl. You're listening to Joy 94.9 with the Petri Dish.
That's right. We're having a super show here telling you all about superheroes and super mutations.
And, yeah.
Right now, for our movie of the week, or perhaps where we analyse movies to see the science behind them, we've got invisibility today, and I'd like to call the movie Hollow Man.
No.
Because I wanted Kevin Bacon to be in on it, and we've got
Jessica,
Ryan to tell us
Jessica
all about
Alba,
it.
Jessica Alba, Invisigirl. That's what we want. Same thing, well, really.
To make you both happy, I've decided...
Sorry,
to make you both happy, I've decided to go for both Hollow Man and Fantastic Four.
Yes.
Excellent.
So, you know, I think it's a good compromise for everyone.
Hollow Man's a super villain, not a superhero anyway.
Well, yes, I know.
Ryan, tell us, can we be invisible?
Well, it depends what you mean by invisible and how you mean to do it. Because Hollow Man is just flat out impossible. Whereas Invisigirl from Fantastic Four is possibly possible.
Damn! All right, what's going on? Why can I not have an invisible Kevin Bacon?
Well, see, part of the temptation of choosing Hollow Man for me was that we could make Kevin Bacon jokes. But I've since decided that's just not kosher.
Oh, very good, very good.
Thank you.
So, what's the difference between the two, and why could we have Invisi Alba and not Invisi Bacon?
Invisi-bacon, sorry. Keep going. Let's Ryan answer the question. I'll start one intro.
And you're allowed to ham it up.
Oh, it just gets worse. All right. The problem with the Hollow Man is that in the movie, it's only his skin that's invisible.
Oh.
And hopefully this will become a problem later. As you'll see, it's a problem later on. The first issue is just generally. Obviously, when we see because light hits something, reflects off, and then is absorbed by our eyes. Yep. So because it's absorbing light, that means it's inherently visible.
Yep.
So first of all, that means that anything that is invisible, if you have invisible eyes, you would be blind.
Right.
Because you can't absorb the light, so that would be it.
Yep.
So first of all, that's a major problem with any invisible character that ever existed ever.
Ah.
They would have to be blind. Mm.
They should have retinas just walking around visible all the time. And obviously they don't.
But maybe they did have little retinas and we just couldn't see them because they were sort of camouflaged because they're pretty small.
Possibly. I think people would notice little black spheres wandering around at eye height, though.
I would just think they're, you know, flies that are flying at a weird level.
So if say we've gotten this confused, then where do we go wrong?
Well, so as you see at the end of Hollow Man, he's set on fire, and as his skin burns away, you can see the muscles and stuff beneath. So that means that somehow his skin is transporting the light from his back round to his front and then releasing it again, so that instead of he's transporting the light waves so that he looks invisible. Because basically, if you can see the light behind him, it looks like he's not there. It's like a window. He's transparent.
Oh, so is the light covering him? So it's the light that's making him invisible? Is that what we're trying to...
Well, it looks like there's something in his skin that's making the light bend round him so that he looks invisible.
Is that because otherwise we should just be able to see his organs and his veins?
Yes, and there are animals that are transparent like that, so that they're partially invisible, like glass shrimp and glass catfish and that sort of thing. So, but the problem is they're only partially invisible and you can still see their guts and things.
Yep.
And obviously no one has seen Kevin Bacon's intestines wandering around the movie set.
I don't know.
Wow. So why
can
Alba? Yeah. What's with Alba?
Well, in the Fantastic Four, her ability is that she can bend electromagnetic radiation. So she has power over that. So she can make invisible force fields by manipulating electromagnetic radiation.
Okay, so what is electromagnetic radiation?
Well, it's the light is a subset of electromagnetic radiation, but it also includes things like heat, infrared, ultraviolet, X-rays, gamma rays.
So electromagnetic radiation is sort of the umbrella term for all of these.
Yes, all of these types of things are different types of electromagnetic radiation.
Okay.
And Invisigirl's power is that she can bend and control electromagnetic radiation generally, which includes light. So she makes herself invisible by bending the light rays around her, just like we were talking about for the Hollow Man, except because it's not a property of her skin, she's kind of acting like a lens. So she's bending light around her so you can't see it instead of absorbing
it. And so can you bend light around things?
Yes. In fact, that's part of the stuff that we see with black holes, for example. It's called gravitational lensing. So a star that's partly behind a superdense body like a black hole will be lensed because space-time is bent and all this is possibly a little too complex to go into now. But it makes stuff look like they're in a different place to where they actually are because the light rays are being bent by the gravitational well of the black hole.
Oh, wow.
So she has the power of a black hole?
Basically, yes.
No jokes about women allowed.
Now, how about things like Harry Potter's Invisicloak? I know it's a little bit different, but how would that work? Could there be a cloak that bends the light around it to make us look invisible?
Well, on a purely like human level rather than the level of black holes and that sort of thing, you know, women... then it's actually much more likely. In fact, they have a couple of working prototypes of Invisi cloaks.
Whoa, already. And so what can an Invisi cloak do?
Well, at the moment, they only use it on tanks because obviously something like this is much more, has an obvious military application compared to just normal applications.
But they can actually make a tank invisible?
They can make a tank camouflaged. So it's not actually invisible yet.
Yeah, I can make a you just paint it green.
No, well, see, what's actually working is that they there are two different ways they do it. First is using either optical fibres, like you get in broadband internet and that sort of thing, or using a whole lot of LCD screens and cameras. So,
that's cheating, using cameras. I mean, it's clever cheating.
Yeah, it is clever cheating. So what does the cameras do? Like, they just...
Well, basically, the camera takes a picture of what's on one side of the tank, and the screen will display it on the other side of the tank.
Oh. Yeah. So what's going on with the optical fibres? Is that...
Well, they're kind of working in the same way as Invisigirl, and that's the thing. They take the light from one side of the tank, reflect it, like carry it through the fibre over and through the tank, and then display it on the other side.
So that's what our Invisicloaks could do.
Yeah.
So that's my big question. Could I buy a jacket in store, maybe down at, you know, Meijer, that says Invisijacket?
Well, I don't think you're going to find some in the winter sales at the moment, but hypothetically...
It's negativity, Ryan. I don't know.
I'm sorry. I can't help it. I'm a very negative person. No, you can't have an invisibility cloak. Uh-huh.
But hypothetically, we could.
Hypothetically, in like 5 to 10 years, if you're a highly paid special agent working for some kind of covert security force, then yes, you probably could.
So the conclusion, Invisigirl can happen, Hollow Man can't because he's crap.
Yes.
Whoa, okay. But if you can bend light in a certain way, which optical fibres are being developed to do?
Using optical fibres or cameras and displays or just lensing light... Then yes, you can make yourself.
But humans could not lens. Humans could not bend light.
Not the way Invisigirl does. No.
No. Invisigirl's special.
That's pretty amazing.
Still a crap film though.
Whoa. Oh no, that's right. As long as we're not bagging out Hollow Man, we're doing right. Thank you very much, Ryan, for coming in.
You're
that
welcome.
Was great. That was amazing.
I can't stand it. I got a little bit of a plug from Generation Next. I want me to say this on air.
Go for it.
Thank you. This is from Chantel and Sarah. And minus 18 is turning 11. So if you are under 18, you can go along to their traffic light party, which is Tuesday the 30th of June. So next week, Tuesday, between 4 to 10. And, you know, 10 o'clock, you can immediately tune to the Petri Dish afterwards. So you can still go and enjoy your favorite radio show. And it's at 156 Wellington Street, Collingwood. For more information, just go to minus18.org.au. It's a great magazine's a great cause, and happy birthday to Minus turning 11. Big deal.
Excellent. Next week on the show, we're going to tell you all about insects. Our myth is that flies disappear in the winter. Where do they fly off to? Our movie is...
Super Trooper?
Starship Troopers is whether we could have giant bugs.
Not the ABBA song, Super Trooper. Starship Troopers, one of my... I really love that movie.
ABBA song? What are you talking about?
We'll play it next week. And thank you to... Ryan.
That's right.
And thank you to Kane, who's having his birthday right now.
That's right. Happy birthday, Kane. And thank you very much to everyone for SMSing in. This has been the Petri Dish.
And for more information, you can go to joy.org.au/thePetriDish. And that's where the blog, you can find our blog and podcasts all there and be updated with the Petri Dish every week.
That's right, because our blog is finally updated. Thank you very much to Ryan for doing that. So you can listen to any shows that you've missed out on or get some more information on our science news.
And coming up is Boombox with Petro and John. But in the meantime, thank you for listening to the Petri Dish. Today, we're brought to you by letters KR for Krypton. Number 36. Have a good night.
Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening to the podcast of The Petri Dish. For more information and the latest science updates, you can check out the blog or more podcasts at joy.org.au/thePetriDish.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.